Okay, shalom everyone. We're doing Yud Daled today, 14, but we're on the end of Yud Gimel Amud Bet. We're at the end of Yud Gimel Amud Bet, right near the end. Tanya is on the last line. Tanya, four or five words in. Tanya Marabi Shimon HaChassid. Right? So what we're discussing here, going back a little bit again, this is all Agadic, this Gemara. The very, very, very last thing we'll say is like one tiny thing of Halacha. But really, we're saying a lot of Agadita today. So we're jumping off Pesukim. We said last year, that was a Pasuk in Iov that said, Asher Tum Tu Veloet, right? That they ordained by their time. And so now we're going to speak about, completely out of context, nothing what we were doing last time. But what does this Pasuk exactly mean? So Tani, I'm Rabbi Shimon HaChassid. Rabbi Shimon HaChassid said, Elu tisha me'ot v'shiva v'arba dorot shekutmu, sorry, shekumtu, that was the word last time, shekumtu, my notes weren't clear, shekumtu lehibra'ot, right? These are the 974 generations that were originally ordained to be created. What's the idea here? So if you look at the first Rashi on Yod Daled Amud Aleph at the top, it says, Kodem Shenivra Ha'olam. What does it mean that these are the 974 generations that were supposed to be created before the world was created? Rashi says in the first top of Yod Daled Amud Aleph, Nigzar Alam Lehibarot Lehiot Kodem Matan Torah. Right? It was decreed that they would be created before the giving of the Torah. Why? L'kayam HaShenemar, in order to fulfill the Pasuk in Tehillim, Davar Tzival Elef Dor. Right, we see that pasuk in davening, davar tzival elef dor, meaning Hashem commanded that there would be 1,000 generations. Reuya haisa haTorah lihinasen sof elef dor. It was only appropriate. It was decreed and appropriate for the Torah only to be given after 1,000 generations of people had lived. Why? Kesherash ein olam iskayim belo Torah amad v'tar davenasan lesof kafav dor. But God saw we weren't going to make it. Right, we weren't going to make it 1,000 generations before the giving of the Torah. Everything was going to crumble and get ruined. Right, we weren't strong enough. We only made it 26. Right, 26 out of 1,000 is not a great percentage. We only made it 26. Dorot me Adam Arishad ad Moshe Rabbeinu. There were 26 generations from Adam until Moshe, and then God said, "I better give the Torah now, or we're never going to get anywhere." The Maharal writes in the Sivas Olam and in his Nesiv Habusha. He says that from the Torah's perspective, it had to be so many years. He thought he needed 1,000 years because the perspective of the Torah is so vastly different than the perspective different here on than here on the world, and therefore he really felt that the world needed like 1,000 years, 1,000 generations of preparing for the Torah. But what can you do? Sometimes you have to change things up in order to make it work. You can also note that Kavav 26 is the gematria of Shem Hashem, right? And therefore, some point out that the Midat HaRachamim, right? Yod Kevavke is the Midat HaRachamim as opposed to the Midat HaDin, and therefore God had mercy on us and gave us the Torah after 26 generations. Perhaps that also links to what David HaMelech says, right? Kilo Lam Chasto. It says Kilo Lam Chasto 26 times throughout Tehillim that this was the Chesed of God to go ahead and give us the Torah early. So we said here, Kodem Shenivra Olam Velo Nivra'u, right? So here, what does this mean? So before the world was created, these 974 generations were supposed to be created. Kodem Shenivra Olam Velo Nivra'u, but they never ended up being created. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu Ushas Salan Bechol Dor Vador, right? But then the Gemara says, no, it's not that they weren't created. A different version, rather. God went ahead and proceeded that he did create these 974 generations, but instead of having them all before Matan Torah, he proceeded to plant them throughout time. Right? He planted different people from different generations throughout their generations. Vehenhen azei panim shebador. And these are the azei panim, the brazen face, they're the stronger, not such a nice term, maybe like, you know, a little rude, obnoxious, however you want to translate azei panim, throughout the generations. So there seems to be a machlokas here in Girsas, in the different versions of what the word's supposed to be, whether the word is supposed to be vitardan, which is what Rashi has. When you look at the very first Tosfos, he says vitardan, right? As opposed to our Gemara, which has the word ushatlan, right? And so the word utardan, what does it mean? If you look in Rashi, Rashi says... can't find it this second, but Rashi says that they were never created.
I come for the CM.
Okay, we look forward to having you. Why can't I find this, Rashi? Okay, Rashi says, I can't find it in a second, but Rashi says that these people ended up going, these generations, they went to Gehenna. Right? They did not have a great ending. I think actually Tosfos quotes the Rashi. Read the Tosfos, the first Tosfos, the Tardan, the Ikalamand Amar Shaslan, right? Two different girsot, Tardan and Shaslan, what's the difference? Perush Rashi, even though we don't have this Rashi now that I notice, so the Tosfos quotes the Rashi. Rashi, he says, Lafi Lashon Rishon, Nasan Nishmatan, according to the first interpretation, he put their souls into Gehenna. He put their souls into Gehenna. Velo Nivra'u, I don't understand, but it says that that's what it means, that they weren't created. Vetema, who, v'chi'avi dina v'delog dina. I understand, if they were never created, then why do they deserve to go to Gehenna? They didn't do anything wrong. They were never created. That's not very polite. Right? Kima pashu lios be'Gehenna. What did they do wrong to deserve to go to Gehenna? V'nira lefaresh v'tardan shlonivru b'yachad ki'im me'at v'chol dor v'dor k'desh lo yechrivu ha'olam. So he says here, his interpretation is the Tosfos says, no, you have to read these two girsot as happening at the same time. Meaning, what happened? It's not that they were never created. Rather, they were created later, and then they were sinning, and therefore they went to Gehenna. And so you can go ahead and put these two interpretations together. Okay, continue on to the Gemara. A few lines into Yadalit Amud Aleph. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, Asher Kumtu, right? A totally different interpretation of our Pasuk that were used for a different context, but we're interpreting it again. Asher Kumtu, Livracha Hu Dichtiv. Right? What does it mean? Asher kumtu, that they were cut down? It's a bracha. It's a good thing that they were cut down. What did they cut down? They cut down on bad things, which is Elu Tamidei Chachamim Shekamtin Atzman Al Divrei Torah Be'olam Hazeh. Right? Rashi adds in a very important word. Rashi adds in the word sleep. That Rashi adds in that they cut down on their sleep. The Bach. The Bach adds in, if you look at the first Bach, the small on the very right side of the page, second commentator on the right side of the page, shekamtin et atzman mishena al divrei Torah. They cut down on their sleep, right? And therefore, they were able to learn more Torah. These are Talmidei Chachamim, Torah scholars, who cut down on their sleep as a way to spend more time in this world learning Torah and not just sleeping. HaKadosh Baruch Hu megala lahem sod le'olam haba. And therefore, the Gemara says that God will reveal the great secrets to them in the world to come because they elevated themselves in this world.
I'm fine.
Okay. Shenemar nahar yutzak yesodam. Right, as he quotes a pasuk that says, right, the secret, they revealed the secrets, will be like a pouring river. And so instead of this idea of this pouring river of Gehenna context, totally flips it on its head, and now all of a sudden it is a good thing. This is similar to the Mishnah Pirkei Avos that writes that the Torah is acquired. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos tells us many different ways, I think 49 ways to acquire Torah, and one of them is miyut shena. Through, if you sleep less, you have more time, you can learn more Torah. But obviously everyone has to sleep something. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch suggests people sleep 6 hours a day. The Rambam suggests people sleep 8 hours a night, but he probably didn't actually sleep that much. It's interesting, the Gemara in Erevin has a very sharp line where Rav Chasida, he's kind of out of it, and his daughter sees that he's like not really behaving normally, and his daughter says, Dad, you got to get some more sleep. And so he turns to her and he says to her, I'll sleep when I'm dead. You know, there'll be time for sleeping later. But in this world, he's busy with more important things. You know, obviously we have to take care of ourselves, but not be overindulgent in the physical things, including sleep, but there's a proper balance. Okay, the Gemara mentioned above that there were these, last time you guys learned about these 1,000 angels that serve God near the stream of fire, and now the Gemara wants to present a different teaching about these angels and what they're doing near this stream of fire. Amar le Shmuel l'chia barav. And Shmuel said to Chia barav, Bar Uria. He called him a son of Torah. All right, a nice compliment. Ta emalacha milsa. Come, and I want to tell you something. Bahani mile mal yusa dehava amar avuch. Right, I want to tell you one of the great things that your father used to say. Since it's Shmuel talking to Chia bar Rav, we're about to learn a teaching of Rav. Kol yoma v'yoma nivra'in malachei asharas minahar dinor. Right, each and every day, the ministering angels, the angels, are created from the stream of fire. Va'amrei shiro uvatle. What do? They praise God, and then they cease to exist. Shenamar chadashim lebakarim Rabba Emunasecha. Right, he quotes this from Pasuk, which we're familiar with from different contexts. And it says, Chadashim Lebakarim, they are new every morning. Rabba Emunasecha, how great is your praise? Literally, the angels are created. We know that angels only serve one purpose. All right, and so they do their thing, and then they stop existing. And that's their whole job. The Mishnah Pirkei also says something like this, that when you do a mitzvah, that you create a parklis echad, that some sort of angelic being is created by our mitzvahs. And here it says these angelic beings are created, and then they cease to exist. Okay, continuing on. The Gemara again in here notes a machlokas between how angels are created. Upliga to Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani. But I understand you're telling me angels are created by the stream of fire. But that's not what Shmuel Bar Nachmani said. Right? The Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Kol Dibur V'Dibur Shiyotu Mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Niver Mimenu Malach Echad. Again, we have a lot of anthropomorphism in this Gemara, and we'll see later that Rabbeinu Chananel, in this very, very large comment here on the side of the Gemara, gets into that, really near the end of it. But he says here that every time God, so to speak, opens his mouth, another angel is created. Shenemar, it quotes a pasuk to prove this, pasuk from Tehillim, B'davar Hashem Shamayim Na'asu Uvaruach Piv Kol Tzvam. Right, by the word of Hashem, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts. I mean, every time he breathes or speaks, then more hosts, i.e. angels, are created. So the Gemara now wants to contrast these two different anthropomorphisms that we've given and say, it doesn't understand. What's the story here? Kasuv Echad Omer, it says in the book of Daniel, quote, Levushe Kislag Chivar. Right, his garment was white as snow. The God wears white clothing. V'sa'ar Resha Ka'amar Neka. Right, Nekeh. And the hair on God's head is clean like wool. Uksiv, but it also says in Shir Shirim, Kivutzav Taltalim Shchorot Keorev, that his locks, that God's hair is wavy and black as a raven. So they're going to understand: is God's hair black, or is God's hair clean like wool? Which one is it? Right?
God had hair.
Oh, well, now you know. So Gemara reconciles. Right? The Gemara tries to put these two psukim together. It says, "Lo kasha, it's not a kasha. Kan be yeshiva." Kan b'milchama, right, in the book of Daniel, it's talking about his hair, it's describing his hair as white. That's in the context of God, you know, being a rabbi. That's in terms of God sitting around and learning in the yeshiva. He's old, he has white hair. However, when you talk about God in Shir Shirim, that's where God's hair is raven black, that's talking about him in the context of battle. The Amar Mar, en lecha naya b'yeshiva elazaken, right, you have nothing better in a yeshiva than an old, studious person, right? And there's nothing better in battle than being young, right, and energetic, and youthful, and having energy. So as I mentioned, Rabbeinu Chananel is on the outside of the daf. If you look all the way down at the bottom, right beside the word hatam, if you see the word hatam, four lines up in the Gemara, and you look over there, the second word after the period, Rabbeinu Chananel, it's quite small. Rabbeinu Chananel here writes, Aval Kodesh Baruch Hu Yishtabach Shmo Ein Lo Dmut. Right? Rabbeinu Chananel already said this on the previous daf, but he says it again in our daf. He says, we all know God does not have an image. Right? That's one of the Yud Gimel Akarim of the Rambam. Right? We don't believe God has a body. There were very, very, very few, maybe just one Rishon who thought that there was some sort of body image to God, but we don't believe that. And he writes here, V'zeh Hadavar HaMochiach. And he says, don't think that this Gemara is proving God has a body. It's actually another proof that God doesn't have a body. Why? V'zeh Hadavar Mochiach. She'en Sham Dmud. That God obviously does not have an image or a body. She'ilu haya tamid be'echad. O Dmud Bachur. La'olam. O Dmud Zaken la'olam. Elu marcha she'en Sham Dmud klal. If God truly had a body, either God would be old or God would be young. He can't be old when he's sitting in yeshiva and young when he's on the battlefield. It's obviously just an anthropomorphism. It's not an obviously a real image of God, and we should not chas v'shalom think that God has a body. So Lewis, you're correct. God does not have a body.
I was thinking he was bald.
Why?
Why chas v'shalom that he has a body?
Because where's this rabbi?
No, I just thought he was bald.
There you go. Well, what does it mean that God has a body? I mean, God's not a person.
I'm just saying, chas v'shalom. You're saying there's guys who didn't think he did have a body, right?
Right, so the Rambam quotes someone.
Can he have a body?
God can do anything,
right.
But I think it's one of our Yudgim Lakarim that if he has a body, then where does he sit? Where does he eat? Where does he do this? God is God. God is not human, so God doesn't have a body. I don't know.
And if he doesn't have a body, so how can he interact with? If he doesn't have a human form, how can he interact with the world? Just by thought?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's God.
That's okay.
More or less.
It's kind of like. Yeah. You're getting up very
exists far. Without any physical parameters, yet at the same time, the existence is able to do.
So we'll see at the end of our Gemara. You have to go to the Pardes to figure out these things, and it's not a good idea to go there. You'll see. Okay, we have a very famous Gemara.
Now, whether you buy it or not, that's a whole separate thing. That's the concept.
All right, we have a long death, as Joey said. Let's go forward. Okay, the Gemara seems to note another contradiction from Daniel. Kasub Echad Omer, it says in Sefer Daniel, Karsia Shavivin Di Nor. Right, that God's throne was a fiery flames. The kasuv echad ad di karsavan ramiv vaatik yomin yasiv. Right, and another pasuk says that I watched as the throne were set up, and the one of ancient days sat. So understand. So it seems like there's one throne that's on flames and one throne that's not on flames. So is there one throne or is there more than one throne? Look, Kasha says the Gemara, it's not a problem. Echad lo ve'echad leDavid. It says, no, these two psukim are speaking about two different thrones. One throne is for God's non-body to sit on, and the other throne is for David HaMelech. And now the Gemara goes nuts about this suggestion, right? Oh, and this is, or another girsa, Kedetanya, echad lo, sorry, Kedetanya, as it said in the Brice approving this, echad lo ve'echad leDavid. One for him and one for David HaMelech.
What does that star mean right there? The Kedetanya. Next to Kedetanya.
Next to Kedetanya. It's probably one of the change of girsa. I don't have that star.
Sorry,
I have numbers and stuff. I mean letters and brackets. I'll look at your Gemara after. So, Kedetanya, it could be telling you the pasuk. I'll look after. Okay, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. So this is all the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva thinks that there's two thrones, one for David HaMelech, one for God. Amar lo Rabbi Yossi Galili, Akiva, ad matay ata oseh shechina chol? How long are you going to make the divine presence, the Shechina, profane? Right? What do you mean that there's two thrones and it's equal? God and David HaMelech are equal. Right? They're not equal. One's God and one's a person. How could they sit side by side? Right? Ela echad ledin ve'echad letzdaka. It says, no, God has two thrones for two attributes. Right? These are obviously not real thrones. There's no, they're not made of any real material. This is all just an image of God. And he's saying it represents one God's divine justice and one divine chesed or charity or tzedakah. The Gemara asks, Kibla mine? Olo kibla mine? Did Rabbi Akiva accept Rabbi Yossi Aglili's rebuke and his opinion, or did he not accept it? Tashma, come and learn. Right? We can see from another brisa whether he did. It says in another brisa, Echad ledin, Echad letzdaka, divrei Rabbi Akiva. So it seems like Rabbi Akiva did accept this rebuke and changed his opinion. Amar lo Rabbi Ezer ben Azaria, right? Rabbi Ezer ben Azaria of Haggadah fame says, Akiva, malacha etzel Haggadah. Right? He says, Akiva, what are you doing commentating on Haggadata? Right? It seems to be that back in those times, there was two different yeshivas. There are many, many different yeshivas, but some yeshivas focused on halacha, and some yeshivas focused on agadata. And it seems like Akiva was more of a halachist. So they're saying, why are you in the agadic yeshiva today? What are you talking about? These realms, these matters are outside your area of expertise. Okay. You know, stick to your area of expertise. Don't try to get involved in agadata. Right? You should keep your comments to the reach of Nagaim and Oholos. It's interesting. Nagaim and Oholos are obviously two very halachic topics, but why specifically those two things, as he quote? So if Yosef Engel explains that both Nagaim and Oholos, those are mesechtas that speak about getting kapara. So he's saying, you need to go learn, go learn Baba Kama? Right, or Baba Basra, or Makos, he says you should learn those topics because you need to go do a little tshuva for butting your head into this agadic conversation, and more importantly, trying to say that God is on the same level as David Melech, or David Melech, same Melech of God. That was not an appropriate statement.
Sounds extremely defensive there.
Okay, he thought he was wrong. El Echad, fine, so he says here, El Echad L'Kisa, so he says, well, so why are there two thrones? El Echad L'Kisa, Ve'echad L'Sharf, Le Sharfraf, right? One is for God's chair, and one is his footstool. You know, God needs a footrest. Everyone likes a good footrest. Kisa lishev alav, one's for God to sit on. Visharfaraf lahadom raglav, and the footstool is for God to rest his feet on. Shenemar hashemayim kisi v'aret hadom ragli. As the pasuk says, right? This is a pasuk in. And what?
Yeshayahu,
yes, thank you. That right, that the Shemaim is Kisi.
Nice
that,
on the side. So
he's right there. Right, that God is in the sky, but that the world is his footrest to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
right. All there. Now we're going back. The Gemara on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, which we learned last time, or you learned last time, quoted a pasuk from Yeshayahu that said what? And now the Gemara is going to continue talking about the same idea. Ki asa Rav Dimi Amar, when Rav Dimi came to Bavel from Eretz Yisrael, he said, Shmona Asrei Kalkalot Kilel Yeshaya et Yisrael. Right, that Yeshayahu Anavi pronounced 18 different klalot, 18 curses upon the Jewish people. V'no nis karara da'ato ad sh'amar lahem ha'mikra hazeh. And he was not satisfied until he told them the following pasuk. What's the pasuk? Yirhavu hanahar bezaken hanikle benichbad. Right, the people will be oppressed, man by man and man by his fellow, and they will domineer. They will rule over the youngster, over the older, the base over the respectable. Right, that the lower people will rule over the higher people, the younger people will rule over the older people. Obviously, that's not the natural order of things, and therefore it is a curse. Now the Gemara will go ahead and elaborate on all 18. Of these wow. Different things. Shmona esrei kalkolot ma'ininu. What are these 18 curses? Dechtiv. Ki hine ha'adon Hashem tzvakot. Nesir miyushalayim u'miyehuda. Right, it quotes a pasuk here. For behold, the Lord Hashem tzvakot is removing from Jerusalem and from Yehuda. Who's he removing? These 18 types of people. Mishaen u'mishena. Right, the support and the mainstay. Kol mishan lechem v'chol mishan mayim. Right, every support of bread and every support of water. All food, all sources of sustenance are being removed from Yerushalayim. Gibor v'ish milchama, the hero and the man of war. Shofet v'navi v'kosem v'zaken. Right, the judge, the prophet, the kosem, the diviner, the guy who understands like magic, but in a more kosher way. V'zaken and the elder. Sar chamishim v'nasu panim. Right, the captain of 50 and the respected person. V'yoetz v'chacham v'charashim v'navon lachash, the advisor, the scholar of scholars, the comprehender of whisperers. Unasati na'arim sarehem, and I shall make youngsters their leaders. The ta'alulim yimshalu bam, right, and mockers will rule them. So here's like that's the pasuk that lists these 18 types of people. Now the Gemara is going to go through and explain all 18 of these different curses. Mish'en elu balei mikra, right. So getting rid of the mash'en, that's those who support. Right, those Bali Mikra, those who learn Torah, learn the written Torah. Mashena Elu Bali Mishnah. That refers to those who learn Mishnah. Right, Torah Shebal Peh. We get rid of them also. Kigon Rabbi Yehuda Ben Tema VeChevrav. Such as Rabbi Yehuda Ben Tema and his Chevra, they're the guys who are good at learning Mishnah. Okay, Pliguba Rav Papa VeRabbanan. Now Rav Papa and the rabbis Rabbanan disputed, they had a machlokes about the extent of the extent of the mastery of the Mishnah. Chad Amar, what does it mean? The Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema and his friends, they were the masters of Mishnah, didn't they? All learn Mishnah. Chad Amar, one says that days of Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, Shesh Me'ot Sidrei Mishnah. V'chad Amar, Shiva Me'ot Sidrei Mishnah. Kind of a crazy statement here. We know we have Shesh Sidrei Mishnah. We have six sections of Mishnah, and he's saying, but this guy, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, at his time, there were 600 sets, like parts of Mishnah, or maybe 700. So what does that mean? It's kind of a troubling comment. So Rabbi Reuven Margolis explains, it's not that we lost, 10 times the amount of Mishnah that we had, or more. It means that before Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, there were so many different yeshivas, and they all recorded all their oral traditions. So let's say there were 100 different yeshivas, and they all had 6 Sidrei Mishnah, and they all recorded all the different oral interpretations they had. That made 600 Mishnayos. They all had like their own versions, 600, 700 versions of Mishnah. And then Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi put it all together and weeded it all out and tried figuring out what's the real truth, what's the wrong Masorah, what's the right Masorah. He was able to whittle it down, to 6.
When is there be nobody learning, though? That's what you're saying, right?
Well, he's saying that this, well, no, the question is, we're not yet. He's made a little tangent here to explain what does it mean that Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema was the master of Mishnah. And the second curse was that they learned lost Mishnah. So he said, what does it mean he's the master of Mishnah? Everyone knows Mishnah. So he says he was the master, that he knew 600 or 700 tractates, not just six. Okay, going back to the curse, now we're on curse number three. Kol Misha'en Lechem, right, that every support of bread, Elu Ba'alei Talmud. What does it mean? It doesn't mean physical bread. It means the people who learn Gemara. Those people are the people who the Gemara is the sustenance. Gemara is the ikker, right? So that of learning. Shenamar, how do you know? Lechu lachmu belachme v'shasu b'yayin masachti. Right, it says in the Gemara, come and partake of the bread and drink of the wine that I've mixed. Right, that's from Mishlei. V'chol misha, and somehow this pasuk there describes the wisdom of Torah and the as a wise and kindly woman, she prepares meals, quote unquote, for the simple. And but really, it's talking about Torah. Kol Mishan Ma'im. We're going to get rid of those who support my. We're going to get rid of all the water. Well, obviously, literally, it means water. But Elu Ba'alei Agada Shemoshchin Libo Shel Adam Kemayim Ba'Agada. Right in the drush is that it refers to the Ba'alei Agada. Right, Agada Kamaras, like we're learning now, because that draws a person's heart. Right, it gives their attention. It makes them love Torah, and like just like a person is drawn after water. So too, they're drawn after the Agadic teachings. Five, what does it mean that we're going to get rid of the Gibor? Gibor ze Baal Shemuot. Getting rid of the hero, the Gibor, that refers to the master of halachic traditions, right? The one who was able to keep all the traditions, the Shemuot that he heard from his parents and teachers. The Ish Milchama, getting rid of the warrior. Zesh Yodeh Lisa V'Litan Bil Milchamta Shel Torah. Now that's getting one who knows how to go back and forth, knows how to argue a Torah point, a halachic case. Shofet, what does it mean to get rid of the judge? Zedayan Shadan Din Emes Lamito. That's the judge who was able to render a true halachic judgment, get to the real bottom of it. The Navi, what does it mean to get rid of the prophet? Kemashmo. Navi is already a spiritual thing. We don't need to darshan it to mean something spiritual. It means Kepshuto Shomikra. It means the Navi itself. Kosem, what does it mean we're getting rid of the Kosem Zemelech? Right, that refers to a king. That this diviner, magical person, that's a melech. Shenemar Kesem Al Sifse Melech. Zaken, what does it mean? Zaken? Ze Shiru'i Le'yeshiva. Getting rid of the older person means someone who can sit in a basin. Sidney Yeshiva. Sar Chamishim, what does it mean to get rid of the captain of 50? That sounds like someone in war. Al Tikre Sar Chamishim. Don't read Sar Chamishim. Ela Sar Chumashin. Right? Pronounce it as the master of Chumash. Right? Of Chumash, of the five books. Right, this refers to someone who knows how to go back and forth, how to argue in what the pshat of the Torah is. Davar acher, another interpretation of Sar Chamishim, Kedivrei Abahu. As Rav Abahu said, to Amar Rav Abahu, Mikan she'en ma'amidin meturgaman al tzibur pachut mechamishim shana. Right, there's two ways to interpret this Gemara. Right, it means that we know that they used to, back in the day when they read the Torah on Shabbos and mostly on Shabbos, but maybe during the week, they read one line of the Torah and then they had a meturgaman. Someone stood beside the balkora at the bima and yelled out the translation of the pasuk. In their case, in Aramaic. In our case, it would probably be in English. Right, they yelled it out so that during Kriyas Torah, people actually knew what was going on. So here he says that if the person we made the Rav Abahu statement is that. If the person is not 50 years old, and the kach ein even in maturgman alat sibur, you don't appoint this translator for the congregation. Mipachot mechamishim shana. If they're not 50 years old, so there's two interpretations here. One is that if the maturgman, if the translator himself is not 50, then you shouldn't appoint him. And the second interpretation is no. Then if they also had maturgman for the rabbi's speech or in the Gemara when they were giving the shir. They also had a maturgaman, meaning that the rabbi would teach, and then someone would translate, either because he had to yell louder, because the room was too big, or explain more. So he said the other interpretation is that if the rabbi teaching is less than 50 years old, then it's not necessary, probably because he has a powerful voice. To be able to say it loud enough, you don't need the maturgaman. Two different interpretations of what that means. V'nasu panim, right, we're at the 12th curse, 12 of 18. What does this mean? That we're going to get rid of the respected person. Zesh enosin panim ledoro ba'avuro lamala. This refers to someone on whose behalf deference is shown to the generations above in heaven. I mean, they give kavod to those who have passed away. We're going to get rid of those people. Kagon, who did this well? Kagon Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Lamata, what did Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa do? Right? Lamata, as a respected person that also refers to someone on whose behalf deference was shown in generations below on earth. That he showed, oh, sorry, that Rabbi Chanina Mendoza was good at giving respect to those who passed away. And Lamata, someone gave respect to those who are in the lower world, Gon Rabbi Abahu ben Kesar. Rabbi Abahu, he was good to giving respect to people in this world, as we see in the story of when he went to go to the palace in Caesar, he was very respectful. Yoetz, yep. Yoetz sheyodeh le'aber shanim v'likbo chadashim. A Yoetz is an advisor. What a kind of advisor? Someone who knows how to take care of the calendar. How to know when to make a leap year, know when not to make a leap year. V'chacham, what's a chacham? Zeh talmid hamachkim es rabosav, a Torah scholar, right, who also know, right, a scholar, chacham zeh talmid, it's a student. It refers to a student who knows how to make his teacher wise, who's able also to teach his own teacher in a respectful way. Charashim b'shah sheposeach b'divrei Torah. Right? What are the charashim? The scholars. This means that when he begins discussing the words of Torah, v'chol na'asin kecharashin. Right? Everyone in his presence become like a deaf mute, meaning that when he starts teaching, no one wants to speak because they all want to hear exactly what he has to say. V'navon zehamevin davar mitoch davar. The 16th curse was going to get rid of the Navonim, those who comprehend, those who are able to learn one thing from another. We know that's a Talmudic way of learning. Right, as it says, lachash desheroi limsorlo divrei Torah shenisna lebelachash. Number 17 was the whisperer. What does it mean we're getting rid of the whisperer? This refers to one who is appropriate to transmit words of Torah that were passed down like a whisper. Perhaps we're speaking here about Maisa Merkava, which we're going to speak about in a bit. Maisa Merkava, we know we're not supposed to teach so loudly and so in front of so many people. So perhaps whispering it is referring to Maisa Merkava. And finally, the last curse, Menasati Ne'arim Sarehem. I shall make youngsters their leaders and mockers that rule over them. My Nasati Ne'arim Sarehem. What does it mean? I shall make the Ne'arim, the young people, into their leaders. Am Rabbi Yezer, Elu Bnei Adam Shemenoarin min hamitzvos. This refers to people who are young in terms of their mitzvos, meaning they're empty of mitzvos. They're not holy people. They don't do mitzvos, and we're going to make them into the leaders. Sa'alulim yimshaluvam. Right, and mockers will rule them. Amarav Acha Bar Yaakov Tale Bnei Talim. These are foxes, the sons of foxes. What exactly does that mean? The Gemara will probably explain. But it probably means we're to weak or inferior men. And therefore, they put them in charge. That's a bad thing. Okay, we made it through the 18 curses.
Foxes implies in literature that it's somebody who's sneaky,
right,
and treacherous.
Right, so not good people, wicked people, and they're put in charge. The Gemara continues. Lo anid karara da'ato ad sh'amar lahem. Right, Bishayahu somehow was not satisfied. Even though he had to give these 18 curses to the Jewish people, he still didn't seem satisfied, which is a little odd. Why would he want to curse them more? But nonetheless, until he said this curse, he continues quoting from Yeshayahu, Yerhavu hanahar bezaken, right? They will domineer, they will rule over the youngster over the elder, right? Elu bnei adam shemin no'arin mina mitzvos. Again, this refers to people who don't have any mitzvos. Yarvu bnei shemamula b'mitzvos karimon, right? They will domineer over those, they'll rule over those people who are full of mitzvos, like a pomegranate, right? That classic imagery. Hanikla b'nichbad, and the base will rule over the respectable. Yavo mi shechamuro domor alav bekalot, right, a person to whom grave sins seem like light sins. Yaharvu b'me shekalot domo alav kechamuro, and domineer over someone whose light sins seem like grave sins. Okay, he had to give this extra curse. All right, we have a lot to say here, so we'll try to move a little quicker. The Gemara now goes on to list many categories of desirable people that were removed from Yerushalayim. So that's what we did before, and now we know one more category that remains. So who did remain? Who was not kicked out? Amar Rav Ketina, afilu b'shah kilshona shel Yerushalayim. Right, even at the hour of Yerushalayim's downfall, even when the city was taken over, when it was pillaged, when it was ruined, lo pasku mehem ba'alei amana. The people who told the truth were not removed. Right, they were able to stay in Jerusalem. Lepasim b'alei amana, shne'emar ki yit posh ish be'achiv beit aviv. Right, when a person will grab hold of his brother, of the house of his father, simla lacha katzin tielanu. You have a garment, be a chief, a katzin, like a chief in the army, for us. Okay, it's a rather cryptic pasuk. What does this pasuk mean? So the Gemara says, "Dvarim shebnei Adam mit kasin kasimla." It says, "Torah concerning which people cover themselves up with a garment, yeshnan tachas yadecha, are to be found in your possession, i.e., you are expert in them." And the pasuk continues. That was just the beginning, but the pasuk part we need is the end. Hamach shalei hazot, and let this stumbling block be in your possession. My hamach shalei hazot. What does it mean? This stumbling block. Tvarim she'en b'nei adam omdim alam ela im ken nichshal behem. Right? What is it? Well, it sounds like it's bad to keep a stumbling block. So it says, no, it's a good thing. What does it mean? What's a stumbling block? Difficult things. Things that take chazara. Things you have to review 2, 3, 4 times before you fully chop. That's Torah. Right? Matters that people don't fully grasp unless they fight, unless they struggle over them. Right? Yeshnan, tachas yedecha. These are found in your possession. Therefore, we're saying, be a katzin over them. What does it mean? Yisa b'yom ha'hule mor. He shall raise up an oath, right? And say, lo ayeh chovesh. I will not be a ruler. Ubebeisi ein lechem ve'ein simla. In my house there will be no bread and no garment. Lo tasimuni katzinam. Do not instill me as a chief over the people. So this is all kind of confusing. What's going on here? The pasuk says, yisa, he shall raise up. And yisa el alashon shvua. The word yisa is nothing except for an oath. A shvua shne'emar. Lo tisat shem Hashem elokecha. As we know from the Ten Commandments. Lo ayeh chovesh. And the phrase, I will not be a ruler, lo isi mechov shei beis midrash. I will not accustom to be among those who have sequestered, those who have hidden, those who are chovesh in the beis midrash. Right? I have not been diligent in my studying. Ubebeisi ein lechem ve'ein simla. In my house, there's no bread and no garment. Right? This is all quoting the same pasuk. She'ein biyadi lo mikra v'lo mishnah v'lo gemara. I don't have my hand. I don't have chumash. I don't have mishnah. I don't have gemara. And therefore, I'm not qualified to be your katzin. So, we see from that long, kind of complicated breaking down of this pasuk, what's the point? We see that even at the last hour, even when Yerushalayim was pillaged and ruined and all these people were kicked out, even when it lacked any true Torah scholars, right, the katzin, the true Torah scholar was not there, the people, right, the people that thought to be scholars, they were offered positions and authority on that account. They were honest enough to admit that they lacked the qualities to be the necessary positions. That's how the Gemara, when the Gemara started off by saying there were only B'nai Amana left, that there were only honest people left, what were they honest about? They were honest enough in saying, I'm not Rawi to be the leader. There was no one left, and they said, you should be the leader. They said, I don't know enough Torah. I haven't stumbled over this. I haven't fought enough for it. Right? They were honest enough to admit that they were not Rawi. How do you say Rawi in English? They were not appropriate to be the leader. Okay, the Gemara continues. The Dilma Shani Hasam. Right? How do we know that their admission of ignorance was due to their integrity? Perhaps Di Amar Lahu Gamirna. Right. Since if one of them would have said to the people, "I am learned," Amar Lahu Emelan, they would have said, "No, you're not." Right. How do you know they were being honest by saying that they were being so honest? Saying, "No, we don't know enough Torah to lead." Maybe they were just getting scared of getting called on their bluff. If they would have said, yeah, I know a lot of Torah, people would have said, well, they teach us something. And then they wouldn't have had anything to say. So maybe they weren't being honest. Maybe they're just scared of getting called out. So the Gemara says, no. Havalele Meimar Gemara v'shachach. They could have, if someone said, teach us something, they said, oh, I learned a lot of things, but I forgot that one. My lohayachovesh. So what does it mean when the pasuk says, I am not accustomed to sequester, to hide myself in the base midrash? Lohayachovesh klal. Meaning, I never did it at all. I mean, I was never knowledgeable. Not that I was knowledgeable and forgot the thing you're asking me. Rather, I never knew it. Okay, so now again, we challenge Rav Katina's question. Eini, is this indeed so? V'hamar Rava. But Rava had said, L'charva Yerushalayim ad shepasku mimena ba'alei amana. Right, the pasuk says here that Yerushalayim was not ruined until these truthful people had disappeared from it. Shenemar. Shotetu b'chutzot Yerushalayim. Right, walk about the streets of Yerushalayim. Ra'una u'de'u uvakshu birchovo seha. Right, see and know and seek in its plazas. What should you look? Im tamtu ish, if you will find a single person. Im yesh osa mishpat mevakesh emuna v'eslachla. Right, if there's one who dispenses justice, who seeks truth, then I'll forgive her. It seems from these psukim that all the men of integrity had to vanish from Yerushalayim before it would be destroyed. And you're telling me it was destroyed and there were people left over. I understand. Were there people of amana? Were there people of truth left? Or were there not people of truth left? The Gemara says, lo kasha. It's not a problem. What's going on here? We're on Yodelet Amud Bet now. Hi, B'divrei Torah. Here in Rav Katina's statement, we speak only about, they were truthful about Torah. Right? Ha, b'masa umatan. And here in Rava's statement, where he's saying they were gone, they were still there, that they have to leave in order for it to be destroyed, that's talking about people who are truthful in business. B'divrei Torah havu, right, concerning matters of Torah, they were indeed truthful and did not let themselves to be praised for something they didn't do. But masamata mohavu. However, unfortunately, they were not truthful when it comes to business. Unfortunately, sometimes it's much easier to be truthful when it comes to not non-monetary matters. When it comes to monetary matters, it is often more difficult to tell the truth. We should have to be more careful about that, perhaps, or at least just as careful. Okay. Continuing on, shorter duff here. Let's go shorter amud. But now we go back to a halacha that was, we're leaving these 18 curses. We're done with them. We go back to a mishnah that you learned earlier. The mishnah talked about that you're not supposed to discuss the ma'aseh merkava, right? Except with a qualified individual. So what does the Gemara have to say with that? Tanu rabbanan, tanu nabraisa, ma'aseh berabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. Right? An incident happened with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Sharoch aval chamor v'hayam elalach b'derech. He was riding on his donkey and going along the road. Rabbi Lazar ben Arach was walking, right? Mechamer Achrav. Rabbi Lazar ben Arach was guiding his donkey behind. Was guiding his donkey. There were two of them were walking. Amar lo, Rabbi Lazar ben Arach said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi, right? Teacher, Shneli perek echad mi ma'aseh merkava. Teach me a little bit. Teach me one chapter of ma'aseh merkava. Amar lo, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai replied to him, Lo kach shanisi lechem. I can't do that. Didn't I already teach you, lo b'merchava b'yachid, right? That you're not allowed to explain the ma'aseh merkava in a class of one student. What do you mean? I thought it has to be exactly only if it's one student. Ela im ken hayachacham evin midato. That you can only do it with one student, and if that student is a Talmud Chacham, right? Who could quote-unquote arrive on that understanding on his own. Obviously, it's kind of a silly phrase, because if he could arrive on understanding on his own, then what does he need his teacher to tell him? Right.
How is he going to get that knowledge
in first? Right, so I guess it means, you know, but someone who's very sharp, someone who can chop, someone, yeah, but the right kind of person. Amar lo, Rabbi Lazar ben Arach said to him, Rabbi, tarsheni lomar lefanecha davar echad mishamadati. Let me teach you something I've already learned, right? That you've already taught me. Sorry, let me tell you over something that maybe you forgot that you already told me this. I.e., he's trying to prove to his Rebbe that you already thought I was on this level to be taught because you already taught me something of Ma'aseh Merkava earlier, and now I'm going to say it back over to you. The Maharsha here says that what's going on here, he's saying to him that there's a Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos says that Rabbi Elazar ben Arav went on vacation to a bathhouse, to this place of saunas, and when he came back, he couldn't. They called him up to Lane, and he couldn't even read the Torah portion of Hachodesh Hazeh Lechem. Something everyone knows. That the mashmaus of the Gemara here is that because he went on this vacation without Torah, when he came back, he was not able to learn Torah. Right? Because he neglected Torah for a while, he came back, he was unable to learn. And so, perhaps they're saying that's why now he's saying, I used to know Torah, and now I lost the Torah, and so he came back, and now he's able to, he's saying, you used to teach me, you used to be on this level, but I lost the level, but I'm on that level, let me in. Miyad yarad Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai me'al hachamor, right, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai got down from the donkey, v'nis'atef yeshev al ha'evan tachas ha'zayit. And he wrapped himself in a garment and he sat down under the olive tree. Amar lo, Rabbi Elazar said to him, Rabbi, mipnei ma'irata me'al hachamor. Right, why did you come down from your donkey? Amar, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said back to him, Efshar ata dorash ma'aseh merkava. Right, is it possible that you're going to teach me about ma'aseh merkava v'shechina imanu and the Shechina will be with us? U'malcha esharas mavlin osanu. Right, and the angels will be with us. V'ani erkav al hachamor, and I'm going to be so disrespectful that I'm going to continue on my journey. No, that's not possible. Well, you're teaching me now, right? He asked his rebbe to teach him. Now he flipped it on his head. He's asking his student to teach him.
Now,
Achshav. So,
I teach you.
Hello.
I teach.
Hello, let's go.
Come on.
Come on.
Let's go. Don't stop. Let's go.
Okay.
Okay. Let's go. Let's go before I throw you out.
Okay, so what's happening here is that you had the student ask the teacher to teach the Mayit Shem Rakava. The teacher turns to the student and says, I can only teach a student one-on-one, which we are one-on-one right now, but I can also only teach you if you're a Rawi student, if you're a smart, sharp guy, who theoretically the word Lashon of the Gemara could learn it by himself. Then the student starts saying to the Rebbe, but Rebbe, let me tell you something you taught me, i.e. I'm going to show you that you kind of already taught me this, right? And therefore, I'm going to prove to you can teach me more because you've done it before. And that's what I quoted the Maharsha saying that it looks like perhaps it has to do with this Gemara Shabbos. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, in our case, he's the student. It talks about how he went on vacation to maybe a less appropriate place where he couldn't learn Torah, and he came back and he couldn't learn Chodesh Zelachem, and he forgot all his Torah. But he's trying to show him, look, maybe I learned you taught me this kind of thing before. You can teach it to me again. So now the Rebbe is actually the one saying he's getting down from the donkey. He's going to sit because it would be appropriate to sit and learn Torah. Okay, fine. Shchina imanu. Right, and the ministering angels are with us. Vani erkaval chamor, and I would be riding on a donkey. Miad pasach Rabbi Elazar ben Arach b'maisem erkava v'darash. Immediately, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach began his discourse of maisem erkava. So in this case, now we have the student teaching the Rebbe. V'yarda ish mina shemayim, and a fire came down from heaven. V'sib va kol ha'ilanot shebesada, and surrounded all the trees in the field. V'paschu kulam v'amru shira, and all the trees began to sing song. Mashir amru, what song did they sing? Halu et Hashem min ha'aretz taninim v'chol temohot. Right, they started to sing praise Hashem from the earth, sea giants and all the watery depths. Right, that the eitz pri v'chol arazim hallelujah. Right, he started these wonderful praises of God. Fruitful trees and all the cedars will praise God. Na'ane malach min ha'ish v'amar. An angel spoke up from the fire and said, "Hen hen ma'aser merkava." This is certainly the ma'aser merkava. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai v'nashku al rosho. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai stood up and he kissed Rabbi Elazar ben Zarach on his head. Amar Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael Shenasan ben Avraham Avinu, and he said, Baruch Hashem, bless God, who has given a son to our forefather Avraham. Sheodei lahavin v'lachkor v'lidrosh b'maaser merkava. That you know how to go ahead and explain the Maaser Merkava. Yesh ne'adoresh v'yesh ne'amekayim. Right, there are those who expound well and those who don't. And there are those who don't practice well. Na'amekayim v'ein na'adoresh. And those who practice well but don't expand well. May you, Rebbe Elazar ben Arach, are one who does both. Right, you expound well, you teach well, and you practice well. Ashrecha Avram Avinu Shalazar ben Arach Yatsa Mechalatzecha. Right, and how fortunate is Avram Avinu that he had a grandchild so many generations later that Rebbe Elazar ben Arach is part of this illustrious lineage. Ukeshinamru Hadvarim Lefnei Rabbi Yeshua. And when these matters were later related to Rabbi Yeshua, Hayahu v'Rabbi Yossi HaKohen mahalchim b'derech, he and Rabbi Yossi HaKohen were walking along the road. Amru, right? And they, who were also Talmidim of Yochanan ben Zakkai, said to each other, Af anu nidrosh b'maaser merkava. Wait, look at all these wonderful things. The trees started singing, fire came down from heaven. We're also walking along the same road. Let's also say maaser merkava. Pasach Rabbi Yeshua v'darash. Rabbi Yeshua began to try to explain Ma'aser Merkava. Oh, so yom tkufat tamuz haya. And that day was the summertime, right, where there's not usually clouds in the sky. Nevertheless, niskashru shamayim ba'avim, the nira kamin kashas ba'anan. And the skies started to thicken with clouds, and there was something like a rainbow in the skies. Obviously, it says like a rainbow, right? Kamin keshet, not a rainbow itself, obviously, because no rainbow is a bad sign. But it was like a rainbow. It was pretty, but not a rainbow. So obviously, their Torah learning had some sort of celestial effect, and it was right. Good things were happening in the sky. Hayu malchei sharas miskapsin uva'in lishmoa. Right, and minister angels were gathering and coming to hear the teaching of the Ma'aser Merkava. Kivnei Adam shemekapsin uba'is liros b'mazmute chasam v'kala. Like people who gather and come see the enjoyment, the simcha of a chasen and kala. Right, that the angels wanted to come hear this awesome teaching. Halach Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, the siper dvarim lifnei Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yossi HaKohen told these matters to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Va'amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Ashreichem v'ashrei yolodetechem. Right? How fortunate are you? How fortunate are those who gave birth to you? Everything is wonderful. Ashrei enei shekach ra'u. Right? How fortunate are my eyes that they have seen this? Va'afani v'atem b'chol mei masubin hainu al Har Sinai. And furthermore, I and you only in my dream. In my dream, we were seated at Har Sinai. V'nitna aleinu bat kol min hashamayim. And a heavenly voice resounded toward us from heaven, saying, "Alu lakan v'alu lakan." Right, go up, ascend here, ascend here, go up. Tzraklin gedolim umatzaut umatzaut lechem. Right, large dining halls with elegant couches are prepared for you. Right, everything is beautiful and wonderful. V'atem talmidechem v'talmidei talmidechem mezumanim lachat shlishit. You and your students and your students' students are all invited to the third division. What is this third division? There's this picture that when those who study Torah, that there's three rings, that there's three circles of how close you can get to the study of Torah. Hmm. And so he's saying that they're invited to one of those circles. Okay, this is obviously rather cryptic Gemara. We're getting to almost the crux of the most cryptic Gemara, so I can't really explain any more than I already did. Plus, it's late. The Gemara has some questions about this price, and we're almost done. Annie, is it really true that Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, he's the one who said all these things in the fire, and this everything was wonderful, and he was called the child of Avram Avinu? And is this really true at all? That he taught the Maaseh Merkava? But Tanya, doesn't it say in a Braisa, Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda taught, Shlosh haratzot hen, that there are three teachers of the Maaseh Merkava. Rabbi Yeshua hirtza dvarim lifnei Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yeshua taught in front of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Akiva hirtza lifnei Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Akiva taught before Rabbi Yeshua. Chanina ben Chachinai hirtza lifnei Rabbi Akiva. Chanania ben Chachinai taught before Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Elazar ben Arach is not one of these people that is quoted as teaching. So this Gemara is a little complicated. It says here, the answer is no, he did teach. The right? The Braisa here only counts those teachers who taught before others and before who others taught. It only counts those people who learned and taught, the Maaseh Merkava, not just those people who taught. But someone, such as Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, who taught it, but others did not teach it before him, the Braisa does not count them. The Gemara now asks...
They're not bothered by the singing trees.
No, of course not.
In the beginning, top of the page, the angel that appeared, and they're walking.
Yeah, that's cool.
The angel wanted to come... No, that was the second case. That was in the second story. The angels came to learn. Just like the clouds where it was getting dark and this rainbow-like thing came, the angels wanted to come hear about the Maaseh Merkava.
Everyone wants to get down there.
Yeah, everyone wants to hear about it. The Gemara, so Gemara says... But is it true? But that rule does not. But it doesn't account for Chachani ben Chachichani, right before who no one taught him. Nevertheless, the Braisa teaches counts him because it said you have to either teach or learn. But he said no one ever taught him. The Gemara says the artsi miu kamei the man the artsi. It's kind of confusing to understand this. But what it's saying is that Chachani ben Chachinai, even though he was never someone who taught it, he was at least someone who taught it before someone else who had taught it before someone else. Okay. I'm not going to spend too much time on this because whatever. It's a list, and assuming they're saying yes, he's not part of the list, but he did teach it. Okay, now we're at the crux. I guess we have an interesting day today. So we're at the crux of an interesting Gemara. We really won't explain this Gemara, mostly because the shiur has been very long and because there's too much to say, and maybe we're not even allowed to say it. So, Tanu Rabbanan, Arba Nichnasu Bepardes Ve'eluhen, right? This is probably one of the most famous Agadah Gemaras in Shas, but no one knows what it means. Four people entered the Pardes. What does the Pardes mean? It literally means an orchard, but Rashi explains that it means, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says the Pardes, right? Nichnasu Lepardes, Elu Lirakia Al Yedei Shem. They entered the sky, they entered the heavens. Rashi is over here, right beside Hagaot Habach. Right, it says Hagaot Habach. The Rashi says Nichnasu Lepardes Elu Lirakia Al Yedei Shem.
Thank you.
They entered the
What's the Dibur Maskil?
Probably over here. The Dibur Maskil is Nichnasu Lepardes Elu Lirakia Al Yedei Shem. That they entered the sky by using God's name. Somehow by uttering the name of God, or we know that there were many names of God. The Beis Hamikdash had like a 22-letter name of God or something. They were some sort of Kabbalistic name of God thing, and they went up to the sky. Tosos is not so fast. Tosos says they didn't mamish go up. Says right, look at Tosos nichnasu lapardes, the farther down on the page. Kegon al yedei Hashem v'lo alulamala mamish. Tosos says they didn't actually go up to the sky. To Shemayim, Ella, Hayan, Nir, Lahem, Kamosha, Alu. Rather, they went into some sort of trance where they thought they were going up to the sky. But Rashi sounds like, no! They went up to the heavens.
They're picking mushrooms in the field.
Okay, I don't know. Up to you to interpret this Gemara. Tan Rabban, Arba Nichnasu, Lepardes, Ve'eluen. Four went up to the Pardes, and these are them. Ben Azai, Uben Zoma. Acher, V'Rabbi Akiva. Who's the foursome? The squad? It's Ben Azai, Ben Zoma. Acher, we know Acher is Rav Elisha ben Avuya, and Rabbi Akiva, right?
You've been waiting all day to see that.
No, I just thought about it now.
What?
It just kind of came out.
What?
He called them the squad.
Oh. Okay, she'ata magin etzel avne sheyesh tohar, and what happened when they reach near the pure marble stones, right? The avne sheyesh tohar, they get the thing they're told ahead of time is al tamru maim maim. Don't say, there's water, there's water. Don't say that. Why? Mishum shenamar dover shkarim lo yikon leneged ani. Because a practitioner, if someone is deceitful, right? The pasuk says a practitioner of deceit cannot be in my house. A speaker of lies shall not abide before my eyes. That if someone is lying, they're going to be kicked out of God's palace. And if they say, they see these stones and they're so clear, they look like water. If they say, look, water, water, they're lying. By accident, but they're lying, and they'll be kicked out of the party. So that's the only thing they said. Don't say water, water. So Ben Azai, so what happened to these people? Ben Azai hates Yitzvimeis, right? Ben Azai glanced towards his divine presence, and he died right away. Alava Kasuv Amar, the Torah says on him, Yakar Benei Hashem, Hamav Sel Chasidav. Right, we know that pasuk from Hillel, that difficult in the eyes of Hashem is the death of his devote ones, that when Ben Azai died, right, that was obviously very sad. Benzoma hatesi senifka. Benzona glanced and he became mentally unstable. He didn't die, but he was also mished. Alava kasuv omer davar matzasa ochel dayeka pen tis ba'enu v'hakeso. Right, when you find honey, eat what is sufficient for you, lest you be satiated and vomited up. Somehow that pasuk is supposed to tell us that he ended up having mental challenges from seeing what he wasn't supposed to see. Acher rabam to Rav Elisha ben Avuya kitzetz. Benetios. He chopped down the saplings of the orchard. Okay? That's some sort of analogy that he became damaged and perverted. We obviously, Acher obviously went off the derech. And right? That, and I don't know if it's from this, but at this point, it's interesting that they refer to him as Acher. I assume he wasn't Acher when he was able to go all the way up. And Rav Akiva Yatza B'Shalom. 25%. One of four was okay. He emerged in peace. Okay? I said we'll end with one halachic statement. Having talked about Benzoma, the Gemara presents two halachic teachings from Benzoma. It's interesting why. We had four people. We get to have halachic teachers from anyone. I don't know why, but here's what Benzoma taught us. Shalu et Benzoma, totally different topic. Mahu l'saruse kalva. Right? We know that it's not a human is not allowed to neuter themselves, right? But are you allowed to neuter your dog? Okay. Don't ask Bob Parker. Right?
Don't ask who?
And what's the guy's name? From Price is Right.
Bob Barker.
Yeah, didn't he always say, have your dog spayed and neutered? Wasn't that always the end of the show?
Oh. I heard that was in Canada, Rabbi.
No, come on. Go look at him. He always said that at the end of the show. Version. And Price is Right every time.
At the end of the show he says that?
Yes, every show.
Really?
Okay. It's 11 o'clock when you stay up from school. That's what you get to watch.
Before there was cable.
Yeah, I don't have to. Kalva. So what's the law are you allowed to neuter your dog or not? Is this mutter? Amar lahem uva artzachem lo sa'asu. Or we know that you're not allowed to put a blemish on any animal that would be going onto the mizbeach, but a dog doesn't go onto the mizbeach. So you're allowed to do it on a dog? Amar lahem uva artzachem lo sa'asu. So the whole pasuk reads in English, an animal who has anything wrong with their testicles, if they're squeezed or crushed or torn or cut, anything, you're not allowed to bring that animal as a korban. Mm-hmm. However, the pasuk ends off by saying ba'artzachem lo sasu, nor shall you do so on the land. What does that mean? The Gemara explains kol sheba'artzachem lo sasu. You're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to neuter a dog, even though this dog can never go on the mizbeach, but it exists in the world. You're not allowed to do this. So that was his teaching. Even to a dog, even though it's not shaykh to a korban, you cannot have your dogs spayed or neutered. Sorry to Bob Parker.